Okay, so we're going to talk today, Vic, we're going to talk about the sugya of Malva al HaChametz, but I just wanted to mention, very briefly, but 2 points from that Gala sugya, even though we're past it, because they're Halacha L'maisa and they come out of our Gemara, and people really don't know them. So I'm going to say it's very short so we have time for everything. We mentioned last week that the Halacha is that Pesach, if something was used on the fire, so you need to do Liban. Because it's the Surah Bala, but that's the Ikra Halacha. Now, difficult, right? It's difficult, like, for example, your oven. An oven is something that's used directly on the fire. Things are cooked there without an intermediary. You don't have water there. And how do you kasher your oven? So if it needs Liban, Liban's very hard. Especially in the older days before self-cleaning ovens, it was really hard because you had to get a blowtorch. So there is a heter that some use, and it's in a way based on a line from this Gemara, that they say that our Gemara tells us Kibbalah kach polto. The Gemara is talking about Hagala, and it says so everything's absorbed, so too their poli, and therefore by Hagala, if something absorbs by using it was absorbed by being boiled in a pot that was on the fire, so to do Hagala, you have to put the kli into a pot that's on the fire. So you have to do things however Kibbalah kach palto, however it absorbed, that's how you're machshir. And therefore some suggested that we should use that also gabe libun. And therefore there are those who are making and say that if you turn on your oven, so the highest temperature, I think it's 550 on a standard oven, so therefore you keep it on 550 for a long time until it hits 550, and then your oven is kasher because you've heated it as hot as it usually gets. So there's such a claim, some rely on that. It's interesting, if you do our Gemara carefully, you'll see there's a lot of rayos just from our Gemara against that. There's really a lot of rayos against that. And because the Arishonim, such as the Ra'ah, right, the Feirish, he says that Liban is not working within Kibbalah Kach Polto. You know, by Hagala, we understand Kibbalah Kach Polto. It went in with heat, the treif. You had a treif soup boiling in the pot, and it got into the pot. You take nice kosher water, and you put it in the pot, and that takes out the treif from the pot. It goes out, and it goes into the water. And Rishonim say you have to have 60 times water keneged that which is being spit out of the pot. There's an idea that it's spitting out that which should absorb. By Liban, heating something up, that doesn't objectively get out the isser, right? Something was oven absorbed, was used. You have a barbecue grill that was used for nevela. You heat it up again. Where does the nevela go? You heat it up to 550 degrees. Let's say that's the highest temperature. Where does it go? It's not pasha. So the Ra'ah says the pshat in Libra is different. It said it's so refes the isser. Sorry, Professor Isser, which goes much better, which what the Gemara tells us at the end of the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that Libun has to be done ad shetashak klipaso, until it gives off its shell. Right, which pashas means something. I've heard that this is something that could be seen, is that when things get really hot, like in a self-cleaning oven, the actual grease that's on the side of the oven, it'll actually come apart. It'll get burnt, and you'll find it as like a powder on the bottom of the oven. It actually gets burnt out. The Yerushalmi uses the lashon that Liban has to be until it soaks the tazim, until sparks fly. It seems like there's an objective heat, which makes sense that it's to burn out the iser. So just in our Gemara, you see it in a few areas. First of all, the case of the buchya. The Gemara talks about the buchya, which is a type of kli that was used for baking chametz in it. And the Gemara says that even though the chametz is baked on the inside and it was heated from the outside, or something that you put into an oven, like an insert, it says, but to be machshirit, you could only be machshirit if you fill up the buchya with coals. So what do you mean? Why do you need that? When you use the buchya, you didn't fill it up with coals. But to be machshirit, you have to reach an extreme heat, and therefore you have to fill it up with coals. Right? We also see that in the sugya. You know, the Gemara talks about a kli cheres. The Gemara says you can't be machshir kli cheres with libun, with stam libun, because if you do real libun to kli cheres, the kli cheres will break, or you're afraid it will break. So why are you afraid it's going to break? You always use this kli cheres on the fire. Why now suddenly your skewer is going to break? The pshat is because it has to reach an extreme temperature above the temperature it was used in. Right, that l'chayr is the pshat here that the Gemara says that if you put the kli cheres back into a kishon, into a furnace, which is extremely hot, so then, since you allowed it to put it in the furnace, you're apparently not worried that it's going to break, and then the heksha will work. So even though we know that kli cheres, normally hagal doesn't work for kli cheres, because we mentioned the Chazal say hatorah idal kli cheres she'eno yotzi midei dafyo la'olam, kli cheres can never be cleaned out. Afal pikein, you could be machshir by libun. Why? Because libun, it's not being polite the iser, it's not pulling out the iser, it's destroying the iser, it's burning the iser. So in a chinami, there still is iser in the kli cheres, but the iser has been totally burnt up. It's also l'chayr b'sharnar Gemara, why it says, Rav Ashi says that he would make his knives like new. And he says, what does it mean like new? He says, by libun. Right? Libun is like new. Hagel is not like new. But libun is like new. It's like new because you completely burnt it out. You burnt it clean. It's like totally burnt clean. So that's just the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Prima Gadim, and he writes that the ikur is that Liban has to reach this extreme heat, right? The pshat being the Prima Gadim says that it's not enough the highest heat that you used it for. Okay, so many rely on this. I'm not 100%. There are big gedolim who were somech on this. The ikur I think is accepted not to be somech on this kula. But that's the that's what it's about. So our sugya, just from our sugya. So chametz, so we said it's yisur bala, so it needs real libun. If it was b'le'al gan, by baser t'chalav, so it's a teira bala. You don't actually need libun. It's enough with hagala. And it's enough. What? Yeah, so for an oven, the Ramah has a well-known kula. Ramah says if something doesn't need libun, you could do a libun that's a lesser libun, less hot libun. So for that, it would work heating up the oven. It's a shir of nisraf kash. Does it get to nisraf kash? So that's the shir for a teira bala, a lesser shir. The other point, just very short, is the Gemara talks about Kalim de Kunya. And just want to just mention quickly what this Kalim de Kunya are, because it sounds like something like some ancient Metzias, and it really is extremely halach l'maisa. Kalim de Kunya, the way Shainim painted for us, is it sounds like it's a kli cheres covered in lead. And it tells us that even though it's covered with lead, it's still going to absorb like a kli cheres, and if it's treated like a kli cheres, then it doesn't have hagal. Now you hear that and you just sort of scratch your head. First of all, it just sounds strange. Kli cheres covered with lead, and somehow, what are we worried about exactly? It's going through the lead. It sounds like it's strange. Why is and the Gemara says this is a metzias. The Gemara is not saying, there's a custom here. It's saying because we see. They look at it and they see that kli kunya actually does absorb. So what is it talking about? So in 2022, I would have no idea. But it's interesting. If you look before the modern time, where we realized that lead is actually poisonous, so this is how kalim were glazed. In fact, the Living Torah Museum, they have an exhibit showing the green, white, and black forms of clay kunya, just like it's mentioned in the Gemara. And it's just a glaze. It's talking about lead, but it's not the lead that we're imagining as a metal. It's something that was used. They call it a lead salt. It's something where lead it comes from, but it's a different form of the lead. And this is the way all ancient pottery was glazed, and it just looks like a glaze. It's like a regular glaze, and it's a thin glaze over pottery. It's interesting, Rashi even mentions here that he used something called a lum to mix with the kunya. And you know what I was talking about, but it's a marash mitzvah. Alum is still something called alum, which is the aluminum salt, and it's something that was used as a binder for the kunya to the kli cheres. So it's something we actually know a lot about, and it's important that we know a lot about it because it's nogea lemaisa if our kelim are all glazed in some way, and do they absorb? So the Magen Avraham actually writes in Taftan Aleph Sefkatan Memhei. He actually writes that if there's a The Gemara is talking about a very thin glaze, which is Einbo Mamish, but if there's something more than that, more substantial than that, it would actually stop the Bliya. Right, so that's something just to mention. You know, if you have something, if it's a thick, our glazes are usually silicon or other type of glasses, like a gas form of glass that they glaze things with. And if it's actually very thick, it really won't allow absorption. So it's really not entirely pashut. The minig is that we don't do hagala unless there's other, you know, points of kulas that we mentioned last week. We don't do a hagala to our sort of china dishes, but there really is a lot of room for kulas here. Okay. What? I got that. That's good. Thank you so much. You're the best. Tea is courtesy of Yoni, so thank you. Okay, just one thing to show halacha l'maisa people don't know, I used to be more makel about it myself, is that when you have your dishes, so we're saying it's a chumrah to say they knew hagala. Really, this room to be more kula. However, there's something that where people are makel and really you should be more machmer, is the gabi tefilas kelim. Tefilas kelim, for cheres, you don't need tefilas kelim. But for our china dishes, which are really glazed, and they're glazed with glass, it could be the whole kli where it has a din of glass, but they're definitely glazed with something that has a din of glass. Mela is the feirush of Avodah Zarah that clay kunya needs tefila. It's tefilas kelim if you buy it from Gaim. So people aren't really aware of this, but really, all of our china is no less than Chazal's clay kunya, and therefore it needs to feel scale. Okay. Alright, so now for the big sugi here. Someone lends money on chametz. With a master on chametz, the chametz serves as a security, as a collateral for a loan. So the shaila is, who owns the chametz, the malva or the lova? To what extent does the lova own his chametz? Because it's his chametz, and to what extent is the malveh, since he has a shibud, he has a right to collect from the chametz, to what extent does the malveh own the chametz? Now the Mishnah tells us something remarkable, is that the Mishnah says it all goes by who's the malveh. The malveh is seen as the owner. Therefore, if the malveh is a guy, it's considered that the chametz is the chametz of a guy, even though to us we would have thought it was the chametz of the, it's the lovas chametz, definitely start as the lovas chametz, and the lovas a Jew. If the malva is a Yisrael and the lova is a guy, so then it's considered that the Yisrael owns the chametz, the malva owns the chametz, and therefore it'll be chametz shavolah ha-pesach. So the question is exactly what the arrangement is, and exactly how does this work? How is it the malva, even before the collection, right? Pashas, even before the loan became due, even though this looks like it's the lovas chametz, just he happens to know that it's really mortgaged to someone else, how is it that we view it that it belongs to the malva? So this is based on a very basic issues of how shibudim work. So we'll just be makdim, is that Rishonim writes that there's two rights that a malva has in a lova. There's what's called a shibud haguf and a shibud nechasim. The shibud haguf is that the lova has a personal responsibility to pay back the mal, right? Very pashut. Yeah, he has to pay back. He took the money, he took $1,000, he has to give back $1,000. He has to give back that $1,000, and he has to give it back from anything he has. However he could pay it back, he has to try to pay it back. Whatever he has. Whether it's karko or metaltalin, he has to pay it back. This is the second zuchus that the malva has, which is a shibud on the nechassim. He has a right to collect from the property, the land of the lova. And this is a shibud nechassim, and it becomes very important for if the lova should die. If the lova dies, so then he doesn't have any personal chiv to pay it back, but the land, his land is still meshubid to the malva, and therefore the malva has a right to collect from the yarshim, from the inheritors. Right? The other place that's important is if the lova sells the land. If he sells the land, so it's not his land anymore. It's not his fault. He doesn't have money to pay back. Okay, so he can't do anything about it. But the malva has a shibud, some sort of partial ownership on the land, and that land is by the lokeach, the person, the purchaser, the one who bought the land, and the malva has a right to collect it and take it away from the lokeach. That's a shibud nechassim. Now shibud nechassim is a din that it's only on karka, not on metaltalin. Right, the Rambam writes this in Din Torah, that only shibud nechassim on karka. However, when it's befeirish, when the spoken out befeirish that the lova agrees to have metaltalin, movable property made as collateral to the chov, so he could do that. They could do that at the beginning. They could say that your chametz is going to also be meshuvah, not just your land is meshuvah to the chov, but also your chametz is meshuvah, and therefore the chametz will have this sort of quasi ownership of the malva on the chametz. So the Mishnah though is telling us something really amazing, which is that the malva has this real type of ownership on the property of the lova. So the Gemara tells us that this issue, how much ownership the malva has on the property of the lova, it's a debate between Rava and Abaya. And it's a machlokus that's at the heart of the sugya of shibudim, how shibudim work. So Abaya says something that's in a way pashit, is that the malva has a real kinyan on the property of the lova. The malva gives the lova $1,000, and therefore he's purchased $1,000 worth of ownership in the property of the lova. So if it's chametz, if the loan was given the collateral is chametz, so now he has a zechus, a kinyan, at least a partial kinyan, in the property of the lova. After all, he gave money to the lova. The lova has the malva's money. So where did the money go? Where does the chusim and rights of the malva go? So it went into the chametz. Went into the chametz, and therefore he has those rights. And therefore, the Gemara says that Abaya holds that lemafrehu hu gova, is that whenever the malva collects, it's viewed as if he had a kinyan in what that property, that land that he collected already from the time of the halva. As soon as he gave $1,000 to the lova, he already got $1,000 worth of zechusim by the lova. And when he collects, he's just being a varer, making clear exactly which land it was that he was collecting, and that's where his $1,000 is. But his $1,000 really was in a potential form always there, since the beginning of the loan, and therefore, according to Abaya, the Gemara says the Mishnah works nicely, that the chametz is considered to be owned by the malva, and only the malva will be over in Bal Yira. Now there's a chiddush here that's not so pashut, because we're saying something that's really a big chiddush here, that the loan is not over in Bal Yira, even though it's his chametz. The chametz is by him. So there's something strange here. Rav Shimon points out one point that's strange. He says, it's certainly not true, even to Abaya, it's not true that mamish, the mouth that owns the property of the loaner. That couldn't possibly be true. Right? If you have a farmer, and the farmer takes out a mortgage from a bank, borrows money, the bank, so it can, in a sense, owns the value of the farm, but the actual farm is still the farmer's. Right? The Haraya, as Shimon points out, that no one argues, that the farmer farms the land. Until the bank decides to foreclose the farmer, you know, he hopes he's not going to be foreclosed, but the whole time while the chovs, you know, and even after the chovs due until it's collected, he farms the land and it's his. He's not a gazlan. He gets to keep the payros and he uses the payros and all the money he gets from eating and selling the payros, it's all his. And there's no one who argues about that. In fact, until the day that the field is collected, all the payros belongs to the farmer. So you want to tell me it's completely not the farmer's. Right? It's not completely not the farmers. Not only that, if the bank would come and try to use the farm for a bank function, they would be gazlan. They don't have a right to do that. They didn't tell you about when they're allowed to collect. And until they collect, it's not mamish theirs. So Akash is asked, so how is it that the loveh isn't over at all? The maisa, the chametz is his. Right, the object is his. He's the only one who has the right to have access to the chametz. He could put the chametz wherever he wants. Right, it's asr by nas. I guess he won't be able to use it as a chair, but etzim, it's his thing. L'chayra, what Abaye means is that the malva has a kinyan to the value of the chametz, in the chametz. Right, his $1,000 is sitting in the chametz. The object is still the lovah. Right, the lovah is the one, it's still his object. He's the boss of it. No one can come and just take it away. He's the boss of it, but that $1,000 of the malva is sitting in the chametz. So l'chaim, it's interesting. Why is it that the lova is not being over in Eser Bal Yira? L'maisi, l'chaim does have something. The other cash is asked by the Ran. He says, what do you mean? The lova, it's not the lova, the lova. In the end of the day, he doesn't pay for it. So we say Lamafreya, we see it really always belongs to the Malva. But Lamaisa, right now, sitting by the Lova is planning on eating this chametz. He plans on paying back his loan, and he's going to eat it. Not on Pesach. But it's his chametz, and he's keeping it, and he's hoping to eat it, and he could eat it. He just has to pay back his loan. So how do you say it's completely not his? And the Ram brings a raya. A raya that should not work, he says from the Gemara in Pesachim Mem Dalet. The Gemara says there that if someone's mafresh chala on Pesach, he's mafresh chala, so he says this chala is to the Kohen, and he bakes all the rest of the dough, he bakes his matzah, but he's left with this chala, and this chala turns into chametz. Meaning the piece of dough that's the Kohen turns to chametz. Fine. So it's sad to say, the Gemara is sad to say, Tanam talked about that it's sad to say that there's no Isra Bal Yira because the dough no longer belongs to the Yisra. It's been separated out, now it's Matnas Kahuna, doesn't have any real owner right now. And he's not the owner, so it's no problem. But the Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer, and that Gemara says that no, the Yisra is over because even though it's Chala now, since the Yisra could do Ataras Nedarim, and he could undo his Afrashas Chala, or could undo Afrashas Trubas and Maestros by Ataras Adam. Therefore, since it's possible for him to be Matrit, therefore he still has Shaykhus to this Chala, and therefore he's still over in Bal Yira. So says the Ram, L'chaira, you can't say that he has no Shaykhus to this Chametz. Right? He plans on paying it back and getting back this Chametz and eating it. So L'chaira, it's a Chiddush here. And the chiddush, what the chiddush is, you have to say, a chiddush in Bal Yira, the whole Isser, is that the side of the Isser is monetary. Who does the chametz have value for? Bal Yira is it shouldn't have any value by you. So the chametz shouldn't have value by you. Right? A little bit like reverse of what we see that if chametz belongs to a guy, but the Yisrael is the Kabbalah Chray, so it has value to him, so therefore he's going to be over in Bal Yira Matzah. It's a different value. So the Maisa, if we say, who does the value of the chametz belong to? The value belongs to the malva. The object maybe belongs to the lower, but the value belongs to the malva. So therefore, there's no baal yira. And Lagabi, the Ran's kasha, so the Ran actually answers, and he says, the pshat is that in a chinami, he could get it back, and the plants are getting it back. But the only way he's going to get back his chametz, his $1,000 worth of chametz, is by paying $1,000 to the malva. So since he has to pay back the full value of the chametz in order for him to get it, therefore it's considered right now the chametz is not a value to him. By challah. So there he just has to do atar sedarim. He doesn't atar sedarim, he'll get back the chametz. So that's a problem. If the only way you get it back is by giving its value, there's no isur baal yira. Also, that's pashut. Now, it's interesting, this really has a nafkim in halacha lemaisa, as a question. Most people don't think about it, but let's say a person owns stocks, right? Usually you own stocks, you don't even know what stocks you own exactly. And then you've got mutual funds, but they own a stock in Nabisco. So therefore, in Pesach, you really own a little bit of Oreo cookies. Right? So that's chametz. So that should be an isur baal yira. So there is a sefer. It's Shuvas Maryo Alevi, and he writes that he thinks that stocks aren't a problem. He says stocks aren't a problem because Lamaisa, he says, the Yisrael, he has no access to it. Right? You own a stock, you have no shaykes to the Oreo cookies. You can't get your Oreo cookie. How are you going to get it? So you're going to there's no way you could possibly get your Oreo cookie out of this. You can go to a store and buy an Oreo cookie, but you're not going to get it because you own a stock in Nabisco. So you can hear maybe it's a svara. There's no shaykes to him. The problem is, it sounds to be not like our Gemara, right? Our Gemara seems to say that the malva is the one who's over, even though on Pesach he has no access at all. Right, even though the loan's not even due yet, right? But the malva has, in principle, in theory, through Gilul Mafreya, we say the value of the chametz belongs to him. Therefore, he's the one who's over, right? So, stock in a company. What's stock in a company is that you don't have any actual power to access the property of the company, but you have the monetary right of it. You could sell that monetary right as a stock, but it's a monetary right. So it's interesting that Minchas Yitzchak, it's in the first Shuv and Chel Gimel, and Minchas Yitzchak Deinweiss, he writes, he thinks it is a problem. He thinks stocks would be a problem while you're rough. So what to do about it? So he says you could sell it. Now, sell it is a chiddush, because he says he doesn't mean sell, you have to sell your stocks. Often, you know, it'll give you a big loss. We're all waiting for the market to go up. So, we don't like to think about having to sell everything. So what the pshat is, he says, he sell it with mechiras chametz. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush that such a sale should work, right? A stocks are real, like stocks of the guy really, if he really is buying your stocks, it's a chiddush. The other thing to do to mitigate the chash issue here, though, is just to have, when you're mevatel chametz, have in mind the feirish, I'm being mevatel the chametz in my stocks. Right? We mentioned that there's a tzadah bechlal. Chametz, if you're mevatel and it's not in your rishus, it's in the rishus of the guy, maybe that's already enough. Maybe that's already enough if you do that before Pesach. So the mice of that, that's what a person should do. Okay. So that's a bayah. Now the real exciting part of the sugya starts though with Rava. Rava says the kana l'haba hu gova, and the malva does not own the property of the lova until he actually collects the property. So this is the chiddush. And therefore we're going to have to explain the Mishnah differently, because he's saying that the Malva does not own that which is Meshuvah to the Malva. It's Meshuvah to him, but he doesn't own it. And therefore the Malva should not be over. He's not over in Baal Yira. He doesn't actually own it. So the Shaila is, how exactly does this work? How does a Shibud work to Rava? Right? How does a Shibud work How does a Shibud work if it's only mekarel haba hu gova, what does that mean to say? That right now, the malva owns nothing by the lova. It's not his. It doesn't own it. If so, so what is the shibud? Why is it a shibud? Why is it a shibud? Right, the shibud, if the land is sold, the malva could collect it because he has a shibud to it. What does that mean? What does that mean to have a shibud if it's not a kinin? If it's not that the malva's money is sitting by the lova? If that's not pshat, the malva's money is in the land of the lova. So what does it mean? Why is it true bechlal? Why does the malva have a shibud? Why is it that the lokeach has to give the land back to the malva? How does it work? So the Marit al Gazi. So he points out that this machlok is a bayi in Rava, which isn't really spoken out in Pesachim, what the lundus is. It's really spoken out if you look carefully in the Gemara in Bechoros Memches. Very sadistic Gemara. The Gemara talks about a case of halva that Malva lent money to Yosef and Shimon. A guy named Yosef and Shimon were at a shtar. Comes to collect it, and it turns out that in this town of Yosef and Shimon, there's actually two Yosef and Shimons, and looking at his shtar, he can't tell which Yosef and Shimon it is. And each Yosef and Shimon says that they didn't borrow money from him, it was the other Yosef and Shimon. So what does the Malva do? He comes with a shtar, comes with Yosef and Shimon. He says, you can't prove that I'm the Yosef and Shimon you lent it to. Goes to the other Yosef and Shimon. He says, no, it's not me. It must be another guy. So he leaves empty-handed. What's he supposed to do? Each one time he's almost like a barrel of haraya. So Rav Yirmiya in the Gemara says, that's true, but he said, if both Yosef and Shimon are shutfin in a piece of land, they're both co-owners of a farm. So he says, then the malva could collect his loan, his $1,000 loan, he could collect it from the farm of the two Yosef and Shimon. Rav Yirmiya says, Pashit. He says it's because Enoch Yenami doesn't know who's the right Yosef and Shimon, but he knows that he lent a Yosef and Shimon $1,000, and therefore from a manavshach, he knows he has a $1,000 shibud. He has a kinyan of $1,000 in this piece of land. He just doesn't know who he lent to. So let him take his $1,000. He takes a $1,000 piece of land, and he leaves the two Yosef and Shimons to fight over who he just took from. Who was the real Yosef and Shimon? Very nice. Seems pashat. So Marit al Gazi says this is pashat, but it's only pashat like a bayah. This is a bayah shita, which says that the soid of shibud is a kinyan. And therefore, it's a kinyan in the land, and therefore, the malva, the manavshach, has a kinyan in Yosef and Shimon's lands. In that Gemara, though, Gufa Rava pipes up and he says, no. He says, Rav Yirmiya, it's not true. He says, they don't have anything in the land. The malva has nothing in the land. He has no kinyan in the land. Like his sheep in Mekana, Lahabahu Gova. And in Mela, the malva can't collect from the land. We don't see the manavshach he has in his land. Rava says, aye, so why does shibud work? If the malva doesn't have a kinyan in the lowest land, why does shibud work? So he says, famous lashon, Rava says, nichsei debar inish inun arvin lo. He says, the way the shibud doesn't work is not that the malva owns a part of the lowest land, it's that the nichsei debar inish, a person's property, is an aray for him. It guarantees the loan. Which means to say, is that just like if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and he doesn't trust Shimon, and Levi comes and says that you could trust Shimon, lend the money to Shimon, if Shimon doesn't pay back, you could collect from me. So the halacha is that we say that Reuven lends the money to Shimon, and since Levi agreed to be an Are, we say that if Shimon doesn't pay back, Reuven has the right to go to Levi. He says to Levi, if not that you said you'd pay back for Shimon, I would not have lent the money to Shimon. So therefore, you have to pay. And that's the chayiv, Levi, to pay. So says Rav. That's the same pshat by Shibut. The malva doesn't own the Shibut, doesn't own the lovas karka, but it's Meshubut. He lent the money, al smach, with a das that he'll be able to collect from the lova's land. Lova's land, and you lend money, you assume you're going to be able to get it back because there's always the lova's land. And therefore, if the lova doesn't pay back, there's a halacha that a person's money stands up for him. It comes to his aid to help him when he can't fill his own chiyuvim, and the money stands up for him, and it acts as an arev. Marit Al-Gaz explains that this is the whole lumdus of why shibud is only on karka. He says, Rishonim write that shibud is on karka, not on metaltalin, because metaltalin, the malv is never so mechdas. He never really is assured that he's going to be able to collect money from the lovas metaltalin, because he knows metaltalin are here today, gone tomorrow. But land, generally people own land, they own it for 20, 30 years, it doesn't go so fast, and there's no way to eat a piece of land, and the mela here is that he'll always be able to collect from the person's land. So the Rabbeinu Al-Ghazi says, that's exactly the explanation of P-Rava. P-Rava can understand what the Rishonim have in mind, which is that the pshat is that since when the malva lends the money to the lova, he knows the nature is that people rely on the land. They're assuming, they're lending and assuming his land is his land. Therefore, that creates a chiv on the land. That creates a chiv on the land that is lent al das the land. Not much a chiv on the land, but the money becomes meshuvet that the land has to stand up for the lova. So the really soy hachiv is just the shibud haguf, is the fact that the malva has a personal obligation to pay back. And there's really no kinin on the nechasim. But when the lovek can't pay back, he can't fulfill his chiv, so the land comes to his rescue. Because it was smichas das on the land, it was lent al das the land, and therefore the malva has the right to take the land back from the lovek. So therefore it says Rava, he says, therefore the malva can't collect from the field of the two Yosef and Shimon. Because since personally, each Yosef and Shimon has a right to say, can't collect from me, you got the wrong guy. So each Yosef and Shimon personally doesn't have to pay the loan. So he says, since the Yosef and Shimon doesn't have to pay the loan, and Arev, the land is no more Mechayev than the person who is protecting. Yosef and Shimon's land, says Yosef, my owner, if land could talk, it says, my owner doesn't have to pay back, so I don't have to come to his rescue. And each person's land says that, and therefore the land doesn't have to come to his rescue. Memela, the malva's left with two Yosef and Shimon, they each say they're pater, and the land's not going to help them, because they're not chayes, so the land doesn't help them, and Memela, he has no way to get back his chov. So that's what Rava says, and that's the amkis of Rava. So this is really, we don't have so much time, but it's yisod in the whole din of what is a shibud, how a shibud works. Just to mention maybe a few other examples where Rava could really help us understand shibudin. This interesting gemara in Ksuvos Pei Vav. Rav Papa says that it's impossible to collect from katan. You can't collect a loan from a katan. Even if it's a loan from the katan, that the katan's father borrowed the money, and the katan's father left land for the yisomim. He says, still while they're katanim, you can't collect from a katan. He says, the reason is he says, prius balchov mitzvahu. Paying back loans is a mitzvah, and katanim aren't chayv in mitzvahs. So since they're not chayv in mitzvahs, so therefore you can't collect from the katan. So, the Rush there, the Tosfos HaRush, he says, what are you talking about? What do you mean you can't collect some of the katana, prius balchov mitzvah? Right, said by Rav Papa. He says, we know Rav Papa himself says that there's a din, that shibud, the din of shibud is deraisa. Rav Papa Kedushin Yud Gimel, he says, shibud is deraisa. The din of shibud is a deraisa din. That there's a shibud, that there's a kinyan on the lovas nechasa. So I understand, the katanim have land. So what do you mean they're not chayv in mitzvahs? They're not chayv in mitzvahs, but collect from their land. So according to Abaya, the chayv should be like that. The malva has a kinyan in the land, let him go take the land. But the pshat is according to Rava, which is the halacha, So the Mela, the Firava, the halacha is that the Nechasim are Meshubadim, but only if they are coming behind a Shibur HaGuf. The Mela, the Ketanim are Pater from Mitzvahs. They don't have to give back any loan. They have no Chiyuv. The Mela, the Nechasim are also Pater, and there's no Shibur. So that's the Pshat. There's really no kinyan to the Malveh and the Nechse Halova. It's purely a din that if the Malveh is, if the Lovah is the Tzuvah to pay, he has to pay, so the Nechasim will come to his rescue. Another interesting point that this explains very nicely is that the basic Shita you find in Shas and most Rishonim is that there's no way to sell a loan. Regular Kinyanim will not work, at least in HaTaira, on a chov. You can't sell a chov. The only way of selling a chov that might work when a Torah to some Rishonim is a shtar. It could be you could sell a shtar, and then the shtar works just because, not because you're actually selling the loan. You can't sell the loan, but the pshat, at least in most Rishonim, is that you're selling the shtar itself. You sell the shtar, and now the lokech, one who bought the shtar, has a right to collect as a shliach of the malveh, because he's the one who has the shtar. But be'etzem, a chov is something that at least to most Rishonim, Ruba de Ruba Rishonim, it's not be'etzem in a Torah Shaykh and Kinyanim. So why is that? Why can't you sell a chov? So the chod pshad is, it's because if we held like a buy, if we held that the Malva really has a Kinyan on the Lova, his money's still there, he gave $1,000 to the Lova, and the Malveh has $1,000 of Zechusim by the Lova, Misvar Kinyanim should work. Some Kinyanim should work. However, like Rava, it's very clear that Kinyanim should work. He pointed out in the Taisus of above Basra Ayin Vav. He says, Lefi Rava, it's clear that Kinyanim shouldn't work on a Chov. Because what's a Chov anyway? A Chov b'Yisod is a mitzvah, a Shibud HaGuf. It's a chiv on the lova to pay the malva. The malva doesn't own the lova; it doesn't own anything by the lova. So the mela, it's a personal shivud of the lova to the malva. That's not something that could go in the chira. Another point this explains very nicely is the whole premise. The whole premise of Hilchos Gevias Milva. There's halachas about exactly how Bezin collects chovs. How do they collect debt? Now you might have thought, I would have thought, you know, if I didn't learn halachas, is that the moment a debt becomes due, the malva should be able to just go and take his money back from the lova. It goes to lova, says pay me, it's due. Lova says no. Look, my wallet's empty. He says okay, no problem, and he just picks up the toaster oven and walks out. Very nice. So it's not true. Well, one of the reasons it's not true is there's pasuk that it's not true, even, right? But it talks about a person taking a mashkan when the loan is due and the lova can't pay. So the first step is that the malva has the right to take a mashkan. Takes a mashkan to assure the lova will pay. Eventually, if the lova doesn't pay, the malva bezdin, after waiting a certain amount of time, generally 30 days, the bezdin will say that the malva has a right to be kone the mashkon, or to go down and collect the property of the lova. But it's not something automatic. In Shulchan Aruch, Chulchan Mishpat Siman Kuf Gimel, tells us that even after the lova is due, according to Rava, the Malva can't sell the land of the lova. Right? According to Rava, at least the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, until the Malva collects the land from the lova, the Malva can't sell it. Right? Abaye says his sale works all the way back from Afreya. But Rava says it doesn't work until he collects it, and it doesn't even work even though the time of Peron has come. The lova's already chayiv to pay. It's already passed through date. So why is that? So the chayyot pshat could be is what we're saying is that really the malva owns nothing. He doesn't have anything there. He only gets ownership after he doesn't pay. When the lover doesn't pay and Bezin sees he can't pay, so then Bezin says, oh, so now we're going to make his property his aray. And at that point, it becomes the property of the malva. But until that point, the malva has no property. Okay, all right, Rabbi, so we'll stop here. Bez Hashem, hopefully the oil, I didn't write up my Makomas yet, but I'll start working on the new Mishnah. Okay, all right.